What are some of the myths of gospel reductionism? I've written part two of an article titled Better Than Good, Failed Attempts to Improve on the Gospel in the latest issues, etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Joy Pullman of The Federalist writes about her journey from charismatic experientialism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
It was the great Thomas Jefferson who said, "The God who gave us life gave us liberty." Jefferson asked, "Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God?" Among those freedoms is the right to worship according to our own beliefs. That is why I will get rid of and totally destroy the Johnson Amendment and allow our representatives of faith to speak freely and without fear of retribution. I will do that. Remember.
That's President Donald Trump speaking earlier this month at the National Prayer Breakfast, promising to repeal the so-called Johnson Amendment. It's a part of the U.S. tax code introduced in 1954 that it says, and this is the wording of the tax code itself, absolutely prohibited from directly or indirectly participating in or intervening in any political campaign on behalf of or in opposition to any candidate for elective office. And it applies to all tax-exempt organizations under 501c3. That happens to include Christian churches. President Trump has promised to repeal the Johnson Amendment so that that restriction will no longer exist. If you are found in violation of it, you can have your tax-exempt status revoked by the IRS. They don't often do this, but it still exists. He's promised to repeal it. Do you think that's a good idea? Should the Johnson Amendment be repealed? It's Open Lines Issues, etc. live this Monday afternoon, February the 13th. You can answer our question via email, talkback at issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at issuesetc. Leave your answer to the question, why not, should it be repealed, at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, or just give us a call right here, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. The question is, should the Johnson Amendment be repealed? 1-877-623-6943, talkback at issuesetc.org, our Twitter address, at issuesetc, and our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. It reads as follows. Under the Internal Revenue Code, all Section 501c3 organizations are absolutely prohibited from directly or indirectly participating in or intervening in any political campaign on behalf of or in opposition to any candidate for elective office, contributions to political campaign funds or political statements of position, verbal or written, made on behalf of the organization in favor of or in opposition to any candidate for public office, clearly violate the prohibition against political campaign activity. Violating this prohibition may result in denial or revocation of tax-exempt status, which churches enjoy, and the imposition of certain excise taxes. So you can also lose your tax-exempt status and get a penalty, if you will. Certain activities or expenditures may not be prohibited depending on the facts of the circumstances. For example, certain voter education activities, including presenting public forums or publishing voter education guides conducted in a nonpartisan manner, do not constitute prohibited political campaign activity. In addition, other activities intended to encourage people to participate in the electoral process, such as voter registration and get out the vote drives, would not be prohibited political campaign activity if conducted in a nonpartisan manner. On the other hand, reads the code, voter education or registration activities with evidence of bias that would A, favor one candidate over another, B, oppose a candidate in some manner, or C, have the effect of favoring a candidate or group of candidates, will constitute prohibited participation or intervention. That's how the code reads as of now in the U.S. tax code. President Trump says he wants to see it repealed. His word is destroyed. Do you think it should be repealed? In other words, should your pastor be able to step into the pulpit and speak in favor of a candidate if he is so inclined to do so without the fear of jeopardizing your Christian congregation's tax-exempt status? Should the Johnson Amendment be repealed? Why or why not? I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943. Would the repeal help or hurt churches? 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or leave your answer at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. facebook.com/issuesetc. William in Texas says, my opinion is that while pulpits should not be used to advance political candidates, the government should not be in the business of restricting speech. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet with your answer. Should the Johnson Amendment be repealed? Why or why not? Do you think it'll hurt Christian churches? At Twitter, at IssuesETC, or at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Now, it is not an often, well, it's applied, but it's not often enforced according to the tax code. We see what look like, to me, violations of it all the time, especially when candidates are making the sweep on Sunday mornings through various pulpits. Sometimes they actually get into the pulpits. It's part of their campaign. They get the press that their campaigns are looking for there. Those look like violations to me, but maybe the IRS isn't interested in enforcing it, but they could. So should it be repealed? I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address at issuesetc and our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Jordan in Indiana says, Albert Mohler had a great take on this in his briefing earlier this week. It basically boiled down to eliminating the threat of having the government look over the shoulders in the pulpit, left-hand kingdom issue, but also reminding pastors that their job is to preach Christ, right-hand kingdom. Sometimes the two overlap, and constitutionally speaking, we should be free to preach the law when necessary without the government's permission or fear of backlash. That's Jordan in Indiana. Jordan, thank you for your answer to the question. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943. Don listens in Rockford, Illinois. He says, I do not think it is wise to repeal it. I fear repeal would certainly result in the politicization of churches from within. Infiltration from political parties is sure to happen. Indeed, we've seen it to some extent in Podesta's emails. Imagine how difficult it will be to stem when political machines can do their evil in broad daylight. Worse, I fear many Christians will be duped into thinking that their faith is, quote, conservative or, quote, progressive when political labels are really just incidental to religious belief. The church will become a cesspool of crypto Democrats or crypto Republicans instead of Christians. Sure, some good may be done, and some politicians may even be Christians worthy of our support. I'm giving the benefit of the doubt here, but the upcoming epistle reading explains why it's dangerous to boast in Apollos or Paul or Temple or Trump or House of Hillary. It is better, says Don in Rockford, Illinois, that we keep the distance between our churches and the state. If we enter into the realm of the state, it is only a matter of time before the state follows suit. Thank you very much for listening in Rockford. Thanks for your answer, Don. A tweet from Sarah in Wisconsin says, no, it should not be repealed. Teaching us what God says about the issues is okay, and the church's job. Promoting candidates is politics. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or at our Facebook fan page. You can leave your answer to the question, should the Johnson Amendment be repealed? Facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Jonathan listens in Wyoming. Jonathan says the Johnson Amendment is unconstitutional, pure and simple. It should be repealed. Churches may or may not be faithful. The Johnson Amendment is not meant to keep them so. Rather, it is meant for and has been used for an uneven application to shut down certain church speech and not other church speech. In the meantime, it makes the IRS and Lois Lerner the judge, jury, and executioner of theology that is, quote, political and what is not. Jonathan, thanks for your thoughts and thanks for listening in Wyoming. Steve says, separation of church and state is one of the founding principles of the USA. I was disgusted to see Hillary Clinton in a pulpit during the last election. I think the law should stay. If the church won't stay out of politics, the state should stay out of the church, thereby freeing the church to preach the kingdom, not of this world. Free speech is also at risk here, says Steve. For if the state dictates what can and cannot be said from the pulpit, then you may as well live in China or my country, says Steve, Australia. Thanks for listening in Australia, Steve. Thank you for your thoughts. 1-877-623-6943. Should the Johnson Amendment be repealed that effectively prohibits churches, absolutely prohibits churches from participating in or intervening in political campaigns through the advocacy or the opposition of a candidate for elective office. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or leave your answer at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. facebook.com/issuesetc. James listens in California. This is a sad reality that churches cannot trust themselves to keep out of partisan politics and confess the historic faith. Therefore, we have let our freedom of speech become usurped by the government because it continued tax exemption was the payoff for the churches. Now, he's exactly right there when it comes to what it is we get out of, in some cases, it could be political silence, tax exemption. And that's no small payoff. Do you agree or disagree? James, thanks for listening in California. I want to hear from you. You can leave your answer to our question, should the Johnson Amendment be repealed, at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Give us a call live this Monday afternoon, February the 13th, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email with your answer to the question, should the Johnson Amendment be repealed? Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc. Jim asked, what's the practical effect of not having the rule before it was put into place? Well, that's a very good question. What was the practical effect? And was there a lot of political campaigning taking place in churches before 1954 when the U.S. tax code was changed to include the Johnson Amendment? It is a double-edged sword. After all, that's what St. Paul tells us the government bears. A sword rewards good, punishes evil, and that's basically the job that God has given any government to do. Now, politics is a whole different story, but the same government that can restrict speech to a certain degree, and this is a restriction of speech, some which Christians would gladly voluntarily say, yes, of course, the pulpit is not for politics. Our pastor shouldn't be doing that anyway. And some Christian churches say, no, that's exactly what the pastor should be doing. He should be telling us what to think, how to vote, who to vote for. But it is the double-edged sword borne by the government. It cuts both ways. Freedom of speech is of tremendous value. Freedom of speech is a great treasure, and we ought to acknowledge it as Christians in our country as a gift from God. But no freedom is without limits. And the pulpit is not for the preaching of a candidate or a political agenda. There are times when Scripture has a clear, thus saith the Lord, for Christians and for society at large. We are, after all, also a prophetic voice in the world that God has put us. We are not to remain silent when God's word clearly speaks. But that can be done without the advocacy of any political candidate or party. It can be done purely from God's word with nothing more than a simple thus saith the Lord. The church should remain silent on where God's word remains silent, and that would have to do with who ought to be elected in particular. But speak boldly and constantly where God's word speaks boldly and constantly. When we come back from this break, it's part 53 of our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation. Today, Luther on the Sermon on the Mount will be closing out Matthew chapter 6, the last two verses. Seek first the kingdom of God, and at the end, Jesus says, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got its own worries, and the worry of the day is sufficient for the day itself. We'll talk about those words and how Luther read them with Dr. Ken Sherb right after this.
Did you make a New Year's resolution to get in shape this year? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness at Edwardsville. You could even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness can help you keep your New Year's resolution. Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. Performancefitness618.com.
Come listen to Drs. Alvin Schmidt and Roland Elke at the 3rd Annual Concordia Apologetics Conference, Cultures in Collision, Faith and a Fractured World, this March 3rd and 4th at Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can register online at www.cuw.edu/apologetics or call 262-243-4343. That's the Concordia Apologetics Conference, March 3rd and 4th at Concordia University, Wisconsin.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
What are some of the myths of gospel reductionism? I've written part two of an article titled Better Than Good, Failed Attempts to Improve on the Gospel in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Joy Pullman of The Federalist writes about her journey from charismatic experientialism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.